Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
And I'm Lauren.
This is our podcast about anything and everything off-road. Tonight, it's going to be very focused on off-road campers. I'm very excited. It's been the topic we've talked about a lot in the past, Lauren, so it's going to work out perfectly. As always,
Chris's fascination of years at this point.
Well, they're like tiny homes that you just tow behind, and then even though I recently purchased a rooftop tent, we'll get into all this later. We'll talk about it all later. I don't want to ruin it. So, yeah, we're still spread across the country tonight. Ross is on the East Coast. I'm in the Midwest, and Lauren's in Nevada. Okay, I didn't know.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
I mean, you did tell us you had got back to Nevada, but I just wanted to make sure, just in case.
The actual skillet of the earth right now.
I was to say, where you have told us it's hot. Ross, do you have any updates?
That's me. Yeah, a couple quick things. If my stupid computer will load so I can look at my notes and remember what I wanted to talk about. Okay, nothing interesting on the GX front. Still got some parts sitting in the garage. It is...
It's also been hot here.
Yeah, it's not as bad as Vegas, but I mean, it was like mid 90s, and the real feel was in the 110 range. And our air quality from the Canadian wildfires is bad again. So,
dude, it even got down here the other day. I was like, why is it so hazy? And I was like, that's got to be some wildfire smoke.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's not good, you know. And I know that up there they're saying that it's all okay, and they have to do this kind of semi-controlled burn every few years to keep vegetation normalized. But yeah, it sucks down here, you know. As somebody with asthma, it is terrible.
Brutal.
So the Lexus has stuff that needs to go on to it. And I'm desperately hoping that this heat and air disaster breaks once school wraps in August and I can get after on this stuff.
See, I love that right now you're counting down the days of your school being done, and I'm counting down the days of my kids going back, because I'm already sick of them.
Well, let's clarify. Your kids are still in the greatest times of their lives with zero responsibility.
Right.
You know? I mean, my life is pretty great. I really can't complain about anything.
But working from home with 3 out of 4 kids being home full-time is not ideal.
Yeah, that's... surprised you haven't. Nope, can't say that on any platform. Okay. Other news: the Polaris Scrambler is staying for a few extra months. Thank you to Polaris. Gonna have some more stories about that. I wrote something for Hooniverse about a suspension. It has crazy Walker Evans Racing suspension on it with remote reservoirs and a billion different things of adjustability the Lotus guy, Colin, I want to say Mockery, but he's the guy.
Colin Mockery's the guy from Who's Line,
No,
Colin Chapman, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. Like, the trope is like, if you give them the ability to adjust it, they'll adjust it wrong.
Right.
So I turn the dials to soft on a couple things. And otherwise I'm not going to touch like preload or, you know, anything crazy. But yeah, that thing's hanging around for a few extra months. And then the only other interesting thing that's happened since we spoke about this time last week is I've been driving the Alpina B8 Grand Coupe, which is,
that's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. And it is technically an Alpina and not a BMW because it comes from the Alpina factory. It is, the way I've been describing it to people is that it is an M5 for somebody who wants to push the scale a little more towards style and presence and curb appeal, and just like, you know, an exquisite experience instead of just like fuck you psycho death machine speed like the M5 comp is. But yeah, it is an exceptionally pretty car, and those wheels, man, nobody makes better wheels than Alpina. Look at that. It's just incredible. You know, they're so good.
This is where looks are subjective, and I don't like the style of wheel. But that's really? Just, I know that I am in the minority. I've accepted it. I'm not going to fight anybody over it. I can see how people enjoy these wheels. They're just not my cup of tea. I totally understand.
Do you like the wheels that were on the B7 that was out in like 2008.
They were
the same
remember.
Wheel, but with like a deep dish block. So the spokes were set back from the face a little bit. I'm wondering if you don't like them because it's
flush
with the tire profile.
No, I actually like those worse. So I would prefer these. Yeah, I would prefer these.
Noted. All right.
Because this is just a style of wheel where those are just like a turbofan isn't the right phrase, but it is wild.
It's a lot. I mean,
share this tab instead. Like that offset, not ideal to me. Just
love them.
You
also,
love
them. How well has that car aged?
The car looks really good, actually.
The 7 Series from like the Bangle era.
Yeah.
Man, that thing has held up so much better than anybody expected.
I so feel like funny. Bangle gets shit on all the time, but like.
Of course.
They don't look terrible anymore. Like.
It's the WRX effect where every Subaru looks better once the next one comes out because they just make it look worse every time.
Yeah, the modern ones are just trash.
Yeah, just.
I say trash, but like I could never afford one anyway. Like,
oh, a BMW or a WRX.
Either at this point, like even a WRX is like what, 50K plus? Like,
No. WRX is like 30 to 35, I think.
Shut up.
If you get the GT with the, it's a CVT only, and it has like adaptive shocks. It's like 44, but it's also only like 270 horsepower, you know, which hasn't changed.
Which that's not super concerning to me. I don't.
No. But speaking of horsepower, the Alpina B8 has 612.
I was just saying, I know it's a lot.
Yeah, it's 612 horsepower, 590 torque. The thing weighs 4,800 pounds.
Do you even notice the weight, or does it just feel poised?
Our roads are terrible, so like there's some spots where even the Raptor got thrown around. So over those, it does like a, you know,
okay,
wavy kind of motion.
A wavy motion.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is like the perfect buyer for this is going from LA to Vegas overnight twice a month.
Houston definitely to Austin.
Definitely not running anything in the trunk or anything like that. But yeah, it is a pretty car. And that's it. That's the
sweet.
It's $150,000.
I'm sorry, what?
It's $150,000.
So it's 12 grand less than my first house. Purchased like 20 plus years ago, Ross. Like, yeah, or not even 20, like 15 years ago. Yeah. We don't talk about East Coast and Midwest house prices enough.
Yeah, just stab me in the heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it. What's happening with you?
I literally have nothing. I've been attending kid youth baseball games. The house has been, we had an incident back in January. We are so close to now recovering and being put back together. And like our house has been in a state of disrepair since January. And so like, it's almost done. Like there's literally two more things on the list. And I think I know for sure one can be solved in a day. I'm not quite sure if the second thing could be 1 or 2 days. And then it would be at a point where putting things back. Like I haven't parked in the garage since March. Sarah has not parked in the garage since March because we've had so much stuff out of the house to do repair work. So now that everything is starting to head back in, we've cycled some things out as we've purchased some new stuff. We were like, nope, we're tired of that old stuff. We're not putting it back in. So yeah, I was telling Ross before, like we purchased end tables for our bed. Like we've never had, I don't want to say like nice or fancy ones, but like we have used the end tables for my couch the year after I graduated college, when I purchased those, up until today. And so that was like 20 years ago that those end tables. Yeah. So big upgrade in our house. Yeah. But let's talk about your mobile houses.
Yeah. So, Lauren, why don't you give us your elevator pitch? Tell us who you are, what you do, and all that fun stuff. Make us
Yeah, no, it's good. Appreciate you guys letting me join the chat here tonight. So, yeah, I'm Lauren with Expert Campers. We are a boutique off-road and overlanding camper dealership with an office in Las Vegas and now recently opened up our shop in Knoxville, Tennessee. So we exclusively focus on the off-road and overlanding niche. We carry some of the best products out there. We import a few brands from Australia. And just what we like to do is help people understand and learn about the off-grid and overlanding lifestyle while towing a trailer. So it's a lot of fun. We have a great time with it.
So we have a lot of different places we could go here.
Well, Ross,
you have 100 questions. I know you want to fire
them away. Well, I was going to start with the reason I met Lauren was on the Rogue Overland Rally, where he was towing an Expedition trailer, and he went down just about everything that everybody else did and up everything that everybody else did, too. So that's how I – so not only does he that's sell incredible. Them, he uses them and knows what he's doing and didn't wreck anything. So that was – this is my little qualifier.
You are you're living the life that you preach. That's good.
Yeah, that was quite a trip. It was a lot of fun to be with those guys. Nick, you know, reached out to me and asked if we'd want to participate and sponsor. And so we're like, heck yeah, let's go for it. At the time, I didn't realize I'd be the only trailer out there.
Yeah.
So 30 plus people in this off-roading trip, we were the only trailer. But being a trailer dealer, it was like, hey, we can't show up and sponsor the event without towing something. So we went for it and the crew was awesome. Everyone, you know, was accommodating. Certainly some different changes with towing a trailer, with what you have to do on a trail, but they did great. Everyone was awesome out there.
So what trailer did you bring with you and what did you pull it with? So, and for the listeners, if you want to hear more about the Rogue Rally, we have multiple episodes. Chris recorded from there. We've talked about it before and after. So
Pretty sure Lauren's truck and trailer is in the background of the entire podcast that I did with the Rogue Leader guys. Yeah, because I just set up my little table next to my truck, and that's where I had parked that night. So,
well done.
No, it's good. I took out it was a 2023 Expedition Voyager. This is a great trailer built out of Salt Lake City, 100% built in the U.S. All aluminum, you know, construction. They built their own proprietary suspension this past year, which was a release for 23. So, you know, this was a fun kind of a trial for us to really push the limits of this trailer. You know, we had done some research on what the trail was going to be like. And, you know, this part right here of Wipeout Hill on the 7 mile rim was certainly, you know, put the trailer to the test. I felt really comfortable with what the trailer could handle with the suspension, the clearance and the departure angle we have on it. It was more about the driving and the full size truck that was towing it. So I was towing with a power wagon. Power so wagon. A lot of length. Dude, there, but
that's like 45 feet worth of truck and trailer.
But the good news is it's all downhill right there. So you're getting down one way or the other. Some great spotting and, you know, had a great time out there, but trailer handled well. I mean, it's fantastic. A little bit of scraping right here on this point, on the front tongue jack, but you know, as we come off the ledge and drop the rear end down, nothing scraped off the rear. So, it did really well. And I don't even think this is actually the hardest part. This is probably the most intimidating part of the trip, but there were some pretty big ledges earlier on that we were up and down that really kind of, forced that suspension to work. And so this was a fun part of it, but really I think there were some more dramatic pieces of it as well. So it was a great trip overall. We had a fun time with that crew.
So how did you get into this? Have you been in off-roading your whole life and then just kind of expanded from there?
You know, I've been more on the outdoor side in general. I grew up in a small town near Yosemite, up in the central California area, and did a lot of backpacking and hiking and fishing up in the Sierra Nevadas. So out in the outdoors, I got into off-roading, you know, in college and after that at a Nissan Titan at the time, did some stuff like that. But we got into traditional RVing first. And so my family, we bought a big 28-foot, you know, Forest River traditional travel trailer with a slide out, bunks and everything, you know, and did that for a while and just found that where I wanted to go and what was happening to that trailer just wasn't ready for it. So we started looking at the off-road class. This is before overlanding was really a common term, but got into the off-road trailers. There was a few products on the market, and that's what prompted me to get into it. So, I when we looked and bought our first off-road trailer, we looked around for quite a while, traveled around the country, and looked at different dealers, and there really wasn't a dealer at the time that focused on this niche. And so started to think about it as a business. And you know, fast forward to 2020, the pandemic hits. I was without a job for a while. I was like, well, now's the time. So let's start our off-road trailer dealership and kick it off. So we launched in June of 2020 as things were starting to open back up, and just kind of took off from there.
Cool. How do you pick and choose which companies you work with?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there's a lot of product out there on the market, and just in the last 2-3 years since we started, it's grown even more. And so it does get more difficult. But you know, we're hyper focused on certain types of trailers that really drive a very high quality experience for the consumer. And so we have a variety of products that are built both here in the U.S. One out of Canada, and then three in Australia. And so we're looking at really the quality of the construction, starting with the chassis, the suspension, and how it's built. Most of our trailers, many of them have zero wood construction in them. They all have, you know, independent suspension, articulating hitches, and really designed to take a beating. So that's what we're looking for. When we started, we had a lot of customers ask us about the Australian models and the Australian brands that are out there. And so early on, we started to look into that, and we were able to partner now with three different brands that we import from Australia, which is Australian Off-Road. This is the Odyssey you're looking at here. And then also Lifestyle Campers and Track Trailers. So we import those in, and people like some of the build quality and some of the unique design capabilities of those Australian brands.
Have you found that, I mean, because the Australian campers,
so
everybody listening to the show has probably seen or heard of four-wheel drive 24/7 and, like, you know, Ronnie Dahl and all those guys in Australia. Have you seen a noticeable difference in features or build quality between the Australian products and what comes just from domestic companies?
You know, it's interesting because there are some fantastic companies in the U.S. that make really, really great high-end trailers. And then you have the Australian stuff, and there's a variety of them, too, that are really good. And then some just kind of average. And so you have it across the board no matter what. I think what the brands that we've selected in Australia, they've all been doing it for a long time. And so they bring to the table 20 years of history, 25 to 30 years of history doing this. And so there are refinements on them that some newer manufacturers sometimes don't, you know, they just don't have the experience yet. But that's not to say there's not great product across the board, because there really is. But, you know, as you kind of get into it, certainly there are some details with a lot of these that are really well done that we appreciate. But there's also a commitment to the customer, how they're working with us, their interest in the U.S. market, how they support us and everything to make sure that they're the right fit for the U.S. as well. So,
interesting.
And then we also see a lot of these, you know, trailers out there. And this is what's happening right now at the market, is there's a lot of imports from across the world, and they all maybe look Australian, but maybe they're not, you know. And so trying to help customers sort through that and figure out, you know, what's good about them, what to look out for, and that sort of thing is important, you know, because it does become a very confusing process for a lot of consumers that are in research mode and trying to figure out what's the best fit for them.
Yep. So then I know Chris wanted to ask this, but I'm pulling it out from under him. What kind of things are your absolute must-have necessities when you look for or sell a trailer?
Yeah. I mean, for what we look for in the brand, like I said, you know, it's really how they're built. Can they handle the rugged terrain? You know, with the suspension, the chassis, how it's designed, the body panels, things like that. Yeah. But what we spend more time talking about really is the lifestyle for the customer, because it doesn't have to be super rugged. You know, it just because it's super rugged or the most capable trailer out there doesn't mean it's the best for that user. And so, you know, there's a lot of trailers out there that, you know, that you can get into. You just have to find the right fit. And so what we do with our customers is really understand what their lifestyle is about. What are their goals with going off road or off grid? Most of our trailers, many times they're used still in campgrounds and RV parks, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. People might want to do that, but they want a really well-built trailer that's going to last a lifetime. Other people, yeah, they're full timers. They're hardcore explorers. They're going to go nuts with it. They're going to do some of these rugged trails, and they need it to hold up. So it's really about trying to find that lifestyle, and you know, whether it's you know, you want stand up room inside to put your clothes on in the morning, or you have to have a bathroom with plumbing, you know, or you have to have garage height, you know, because you need to park and store it somewhere.
Yeah,
you know, things like that. We really kind of dig into. Do you have a family? Is it a growing family? Are the kids going to be moving out? You need to accommodate them now, but 2 years down the road, you want to get rid of that rooftop tent and keep it light. You know, you want to tow with a, you know, a Jeep Wrangler versus a Power Wagon. You know, things like that we get into and help them understand really what's the best fit for their lifestyle.
I saw a JL Wrangler Unlimited Sport towing a Tracer something trailer, and I looked it up, and it's like 4,500 pounds dry. And the Jeep's towing capacity is 3,500. And that is like pushing it.
And you
it
see
every
it squat.
Bit of it.
Yeah.
It was, it was honestly scary.
We're driving down the freeway all the time. I look at my wife and I just start shaking my head, and she looks around and she sees the same thing. And she knows what I'm thinking, because I say it all the time. It's like, what is that vehicle doing towing that trailer? Either from a mismatch in size, you know, or just like coolness factor and what they're doing. Like we've seen these decked out, you know, gladiators towing a traditional RV. I'm like, okay, maybe that's what they want, and that's great. But do they know there's other options? Do they know that they can have a trailer that can keep up with what that gladiator can do with 38 inch tires on it, you know? So it's kind of fun to kind of take a look at that. A lot of people still are new to this part of the industry. For so long, they've never known that there's options out there. They didn't know that you can get a really cool off-road overlanding trailer that you can get out there and push the limits with. And so if you haven't seen them before, you haven't been to an expo, you haven't done this type of stuff, you just don't know, because traditional RV shops don't carry these types of products. And so just trying to get the word out, you know, getting them to see these things and get them to experience and test them for the first time is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I mean, just the variety, the proliferation over the last few years, like you said, since the pandemic, and just to see like the learning curve too of people, like the guy with the gladiator, you know, who's got something totally wrong for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a weird world.
Where
do you find most of your customers are, your sales call, you know, any interest comes from? Is it, can I take a guess?
Yeah. You know, our customer base is so widespread, and it's what's fun about this industry. And so, you know, people come in from all walks of life, all geographies, all demographics. You know, whether it's a, you know, young family starting out that maybe rents a home but wants to buy the trailer because, you know, this is the lifestyle they want, or a retiree who maybe, you know, has been living or traveling a lot in a large, you know, class A that now wants to get off the grid and do more adventurous type travel. We have it all. We have single moms, you know, to anyone else out there. So it's a lot of fun. But what they all experience, or kind of what, I guess what they all share in this experience, is this idea of being remote and being capable to be off grid, to get away from the campgrounds if they want to be able to explore. And so it doesn't matter where they come from or their age bracket or anything else. It's like, hey, let's go find a trail and let's go explore, having that sense of adventure to get out there and do it. And maybe they think they want to, but they don't know how yet. And they kind of like, hey, we've been doing the campground thing, but we're kind of getting a little more adventurous. It's perfect. You know, we can show them the ropes, show them what to do. We do runs together, take them out on trails, and then it only takes a couple times, and then their wings are ready to fly, and they go for it.
Set them free.
Yeah.
tell us about some of the most interesting places that you've taken trailers or that you've heard of people taking trailers you sold them.
Well, certainly the Rogue Overland trip was one to remember. But, you know, it's not only because of some of the footage we're showing there, but just the scene. I mean, you know, when you go to, you know, Southern Utah and the Moab area, Capitol Reef area, it's just stunning. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And you can spend so much time. And every time we go into that region and kind of travel around, it's just like, we need more time. I want to go there. I want to try that next. And that's what's challenges. Like, you can just keep going and going and going. And so that's the luxury we have being out in the West here in Nevada and Utah and Arizona. There's a lot of BLM land. There's a lot of places that we can explore. But that being said, you know, opening up our shop in Knoxville, Tennessee, had a chance to kind of spend some time out there, and there's so much we want to do. We've been able to partner with a few groups out there. Bill and Deb with Cottywampel Overland have been awesome to work with. They're showing us some of the areas of the Smoky Mountains. And they're fantastic. And so they're helping us kind of, you know, understand that region a little bit more. And we're doing a lot of events out there now too. So it's fun to kind of, on our side too, we've been so focused on the West, you know, kind of get these products introduced to a customer base and a region out there. It's been a lot of fun for us. So there's a lot that we can do. Personally, I'll go anywhere where there's fly fishing. So if I can find a lake or a stream and can park it for a day or two and just enjoy being up in the mountains somewhere, you know, that's where I want to be.
You got to come to New York, to the Catskills region.
Let's do it.
He's adding days to your drive, Lauren.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. On the way to Knoxville, we'll go to New York.
Right?
Yeah.
No, look up like the Roscoe, New York area. Some of the fly fishing is absolutely wild.
That's fantastic.
I mean, it's not something I can say I've done, but I know people who have, and it looks amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this is, it's so cool. And I want to play with these things so badly. Chris, what kind of questions?
Right?
I know you got places you want to go, and you
have a
personal vested interest in
No, I just, my thing is always like, there are so many different iterations now of what I think of when I think of an off-road trailer, because what you talked about before, like the Forest River trailers, like that's what we've always thought of for camping trailers, right? Like just an RV trailer, but they're, the Expedition trailer you had compared to like an Opus, like those are almost complete different ends of the spectrum, where one is just literally this little box where everything fits and works, where the Opus is a little box that springs open and becomes so different.
Springs
and then this, yeah. And then the track trailer is even smaller, like, but yet springs open as well. Like it just.
So this is what's fun, is that you get into the lifestyle. It's like, you know, some people, they want to be able to stand up inside, right? And so it's like, hey, when I wake up in the morning, I want to be able to stand up. I don't want to have to go outside, you know, put on my clothes or something like that. And so you get an Opus that has a big pop-up inflatable tent, super family-friendly vehicle, 40 gallons of water, tons of capability, high clearance, you know, nice outdoor kitchen. But it's half tent, you know? And so some people love that because you're going to get that camping feel, you know, you're going to kind of feel the elements a little bit more. You're going to hear the wind and everything. And other people are like, heck no, I want to be in a hard sided, you know, I want metal around me all the way. And so that's fine. Both are great, right? It doesn't matter, but knowing kind of what works for you is what's important there, you know, and there's always that balance of size and weight, because typically the bigger you go, the heavier it is, the harder it is to pull down a trail, get around curves, things like that. And the Opus provides that compact footprint, but you know, a lot of interior living. So
yeah,
That's what's fun about this.
I'm a little short of 6'4", and this is me inside of an Opus. Like I have to reach for the top of it.
Yeah. The 8-foot ceiling, you know?
Yeah. It's hard to legitimately beat. It's up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's funny you mentioned like the soft sides versus the hard sides, because I think you and I were the small group, was that the third night of the rally where it was so windy we didn't have to listen to a tent flap at all. I slept inside the Sequoia and you slept inside your trailer. And everybody else had some version of rooftop tent or something else. It was just
we had the heater on, you know.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
It was warm in there, you know, take a warm shower, you know, it's fantastic. So, you know. Yeah, you can have both. And that's what's fun about, you know, having a trailer is, you know, you can be totally adventurous, you know, have all that gear, all that cool stuff, but have a little bit of luxury and comfort too, you know, when it's done right. And the fun thing about it is with a trailer, my favorite part, you know, is being able to set up that base camp. And then if you want to go wheel, I go fishing, you know, my family stays, you know, at the campsite, whatever it is, I can go to run around. And then, you know, for a couple of days, 2-3 days, it's there, it's ready to go, everything's set up. And so it's a lot easier to kind of get to your spot. Now, if you're running every day, you're packing up anyways. But if you are going to go to a spot and be for, you know, 2-3 days or longer, then it's nice to have your base camp set up and you can still detach and take your vehicle out. And then also when you want to go, you know, some people, I think this is what most people like really enjoy is like if they've been in a rooftop tent or a truck or, you know, they have gear, they're always loading it up before they go on their trip, you know.
Yeah.
And when you have a nice trailer, it's set up, you know, all your cooking equipment's in there, all your gear's ready to go. You've cleaned it from last time. You throw the cooler on, put some food in there, grab some clothes, and you're off and running, you know. And so it makes it, you know, easier to do that one night trip if you want to go out for one night. You know, we've done that. I've taken my son. I was like, hey, let's go to Lake Mead tonight. And we just hooked up and took off, came back the next morning. Not a big deal, you know.
That sounds magical. So even describing, like, yeah, you can leave it as base camp, but like even if you're moving spots, like the ability to pack it all up again and have it, whatever dampness or anything that existed from the morning, like is not in the vehicle with you for the rest of that day. Like I've been on those trips where it just doesn't get dry in the morning and you're hoping you get to the next spot early enough that you can set up and dry it out before you have to get in and sleep again. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Only it worked like that.
Yeah. Anyway.
what's in your personal garage these days?
Well, nothing fits in the garage.
feel you there.
In the driveway. I tell you, I've had my share of off-road campers. I've owned a few of them personally. But now we have the luxury of having the business. We actually rent a lot of our units. And so we have a rental fleet. So if my garage is our warehouse and our shop, then I've got one of everything that we can get out. And so that's one of the benefits. But it's so we get out, get to test them a little bit. We'll use all the units. I have a demo unit of everything we sell. And so we get out there, we test it. We want to make sure it's right for our customer base. We understand it. Our technicians work on the units. And so that way we're familiar with what's going on with them. And from the rental line, we certainly get some feedback, of course, and get some abuse periodically. So we see kind of everything that happens with them. But it's a lot of fun. If someone hasn't tried it before, the rental opportunity is a great way to get out there, give it a shot. Understand how your vehicle tows a camper, what's really important to you in terms of layout and functionality and features. You know, it gives people a good trial run before making this type of investment. So it's a lot of fun to do that.
Cool. And what are you driving?
I'm driving a 21 Power Wagon.
The black one that was on the rally?
Yeah, that black one. Yep. So cool. Got my full size for when we need to tow some of those bigger vehicles. But it does pretty well on the trail, too.
Seriously. I had to look up what the LX tow rating was, Russ. I didn't even know.
What is it? Can I? It's
6,500.
Like, oh wow! I was gonna guess.
That's pretty well.
5,250 or something. That's pretty good. That's the same as the GX.
And what is the Alpina? What is the Alpina V8 tow capacity though?
I was talking. I mean, if I had to guess here, it's rated for zero, but in Germany, probably like 4,200 pounds.
There you go.
You know, that's how they tend to do it.
Yeah.
Didn't we figure out what the Miatas was forever ago?
I don't think Mazda officially rates it to tow.
Well, according to... Oh, now I got to do math.
Oh, no. Just Google convert it. You don't have to math.
Yeah, I know, but like my window froze.
going from pounds to kilograms or vice versa?
I'm going kilograms to pounds. So according to an Australia website, carsguide.au, it's 1,300 kilograms, which is just below or just over 2,800 pounds.
Yeah, okay. No, no, that's its curb weight. That's an NC with all the options on the folding hardtop. That's
no, that was the B8. I don't know about the Miata.
Oh, that's the B8. Oh.
That's the Alpina, sorry.
Oh, wow, yeah, I thought you were talking about the Miata. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
But then I was going right back to the size of the sidewalls on that car is where my mind went for 2,800 pounds.
Yeah. There's not much sidewall, no. But they are probably reasonably stiff. But
try to air those down to 12.
It's not exactly an E-rated tire.
Yeah. God, no.
Oh, man.
Which is so many different variations of E-rated tires now. Like just the plies aren't always E, just because it's E now doesn't mean it's the same number of plies. Like they've started to do fuzzy math on.
Well, it's like tread wear rating.
Yeah.
It's up to the manufacturer, you know.
Which I will. I did suggest because the Sequoia runs Toyos and the Lexus has the Open Country AT3s on them as well. And I just said to a friend the other day, he was like, "Hey, I'm starting to think about tires." I was like, I'm probably Toyos for life until something gets better.
I still enjoy them.
You also have them.
I also have them. Yep. I told you.
And your dad had them on that 2500 too, right? Didn't he do like tons of miles?
My dad, my brother, and myself probably have 500,000 miles on Toyo Open Countries.
On just three sets?
Yeah. No, probably. I mean, probably only like five, you know?
Okay. And, so that's a lot of mileage to get to 500,000. So
yeah. So Lauren, are you have you had the opportunity to go to Australia to visit any of these suppliers, or are you trying to play
not
in the pandemic?
Not yet. Yeah, it's on our list for sure, and it'll be a fantastic trip. I think it's definitely on the horizon for us. We actually had an opportunity to meet up with Ron Moo, and he is kind of a legend in Australia for doing kind of the travel trailer kind of caravan testing. He worked with some of our suppliers 20 years ago, and his son now, Trent Moon, runs Moon Tours. So anyways, they have a tour business in Australia, get people into the outback, and they invited us out. So next time if we have a chance to get out to Australia, hopefully we can meet up with them and get to explore a little bit the real way.
Australia seems like a good time for off-roading.
Yeah.
Fishing too, it seems like there's plenty of places to go fishing. Trips that people go on down there.
There's a lot you can do, that's for sure.
I think I got the right guy. I found the glory of modern technology is Google. Like you give me a name and a location, like I can get pretty close, like.
There he is.
Oh, that's shit.
Him. Yeah.
In a Land Cruiser.
Have you submerged any trailer like that?
That's a T-Van. We have one of those in our shop right now. So, yeah, that's the Track T-Van. Fantastic trailer. Yeah.
Russ, this one, like, this is exactly what I was talking about a little bit ago with the Opus, like how it just expands. This little thing gets so big.
It's really neat. It has a drop-down deck, so that back hatch folds down in two pieces, and then the top opens up, and it has this elevated deck that turns into a full annex. So we've taken it out with our kids, and we'll put two cots in the rear there, have the queen size bed in the cabin, and have plenty of room for the four of us. And for a little trailer that's 2,400 pounds, dry, that can sleep four people on the inside is unbelievable. It's kind of all built together there. So that's a lot of fun. It's a really neat rig. There you go. With the built-in annex off the rear. And then there's an ensuite that attaches on the other side, so you can get up, go to the bathroom at night, never leave your trailer.
It's nicer than my house.
Yeah.
It legitimately, dude, like he had it, Lauren had one at the Moore Expo and I got in it. And I was just like, how? Where did all of this space come from?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And they've been building that model, that T-Van, for over 20 years in Australia. The model for 20 years. So it's not a new model, right? They've continued to expand on it and iterate on it, but they've been doing it for a long time. And so it's just so well refined. You know, there's a lot of detail to it. Great use of space. Everything is well thought out. So you get some of that experience, you know, with these guys.
It's appropriate that it was being towed by a 70 Series Land Cruiser.
And if it's 100%
over decades. Oh, and that's a two-door GX, a Prado. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So on the topic of trailers, I want to gauge your 1 to 10. How horrible of an idea is this that I'm proposing? So my budget for a trailer is not what one of these are. My budget for a trailer is probably one night's rental as something I want to own. So
where are you going?
There's a lot of free pop-up campers from like the 90s and early 2000s around here that people buy and then just kind of abandon. I'm thinking about just taking one, pulling the axle off, putting like a sheet of aluminum or some hard metal underneath it, and then affixing the good like independent suspension to the bottom of that.
Good for you. It sounds like you have a great plan there, Ross.
Yeah. Is that the dumbest idea you've ever heard? Or
the first question is, do you have any fabrication experience? You know, no, but here's the deal. It's funny. I think, listen, there's so many ways you can do this, right? And it doesn't matter. If you've got some interest and experience in building your own trailer, go for it. Why not? You know, give it a shot. You know, I maybe not be arrogant that it's as good as something else that's out there that's been doing it for 20 years, you know,
right.
but listen, if you're the hobbyist, I tell people go for it. I have people come to my shop all the time. They just want ideas. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to do a home built and throw a suspension on there, learn what's necessary to make it safe and roadworthy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do the research, talk to people there, make sure you have proper lighting on there, you have proper balance. Brakes, you know, you do understand how a chassis needs to be designed for this type of travel, how the axle works, you know, make, you know, buy some good product, you know, that you can put on there. So it's roadworthy, but have fun, you know, that type of stuff. You know, if you can get into a fabrication shop and use aluminum instead of wood, even better. You know, a lot of people build these home builds and they put up, you know, wood panels. Again, easy to do, but it's just not going to hold up when you start going down a washboard road. But hey, go for it. What do you have to lose? You know,
exactly.
Give it a shot, you know,
just up the insurance policy and hope for the best.
There you go.
are you going to at some point sell components? And I guess the follow-up question to that is, what's the durability like on these things? I mean, if somebody takes it on a trip like you guys were on with Rogue, I mean, if you do six of those a year, what's the reality of maintaining these things?
Yeah, I'll start then. I'll come back to the components, but you know, the stuff that we carry, it really is designed to do those types of trips often and all, you know, all the time. But again, there's degrees of that. Not all products we carry, I can say that. You know, we do have a different degree of products out there for different lifestyles. So if you're going real rugged and you know you're going to be off grid for a long period, you're maybe living out of it, and you know you're going to be doing some heavy washboard roads over and over and over and over again, it takes a toll on a trailer. It really does. And so with the right trailer, absolutely, it can hold up to it. The common, you know, maintenance items, alignments and tires and brakes, you know, common things with propane systems and plumbing, you've got to keep updated. But the trailer itself should last a long time if it's well built that way. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a different use case and there's a different trailer for every person. And so kind of keeping that in mind is important. Yeah, but you know, and on the component side of it, we do a lot of outfitting for trailers, and so a lot of that crosses over to general overlanding and off road. But we sell a lot of tents and rooftop tents and awnings, solar panels, fridges, lithium upgrades. We do a ton of power upgrades on our campers. I've got Nellis Air Force Base flying by. If you can hear it, I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
It's the, I guess something's going on 6 o'clock doing drills outside. But anyways, so we do a lot of like, you know, upgrades to power systems. Sometimes the trailers come one way and that's what the manufacturer specs it out as. And so we'll take it to the next level in many cases. You know, so, and we sell those components, and our shop in Knoxville now is a full retail shop. So we've got rooftop tents in stock. We got awnings in stock and things like that. So we work with, you know, iCamper, we work with Bush Company, 23-0 Overland Vehicle Systems. You know, we've got some good products out there for people that are looking to get in. And if you just need the tent, cause you're going to throw it on a truck, great, go for it. You know, a few $1,000, you can get a really nice setup.
Cool. Yeah. And just to follow up the maintenance portion, I suspect that a lot of it also has to do with the person behind the wheel, as with everything.
Yeah, there's, you know, when you're towing a trailer, there's more to think about, right? When you're going down a narrow trail, you have, you know, 15 or 20 feet behind you that is a little bit wider than you in those turns. And so keeping that in mind, yeah, you know, if you much easier to swipe up against rocks or, you know, get that pinstriping from the brush and everything, you know, so kind of, you know, obviously maintaining that. But, you know, just, you know, being smart about it too, you know, making sure your bearings are well maintained, and checking those, you know, on, you know, depending on the frequency of your trips, you know, pretty often. Mm-hmm. So we recommend making sure your tires are well kept and that sort of thing. Cause it does make a difference when you're, you know, out on your own away from any support and cell signal and everything. You want to make sure that you're capable of recovering yourself and extracting yourself if you need to.
Cool. Chris, what else you got?
No, I've literally just been rolling through
just
pictures.
Watching videos.
Yeah. I've been going through pictures and videos. Ron's a pretty great guy from what I can tell. his trips are fairly epic. I mean, Australia always does that for me. Joel's aware of that.
Yeah.
Joel, Lauren, for your information, Joel's our buddy who lives in Australia. So he
got it. Okay.
Good. And because we record so late in the evening, it's like midday for him the next day. He normally sends us a message. So
well, let's go meet Joel and Ron together.
Exactly.
We'll go for it.
I am on board.
Joel joins us on this call.
Yeah, I do need to update my passport. But other than that, yeah, I'm ready. That's about all I got. I don't have anything else for you, Lauren. Like, you did a good job explaining it.
Yeah. Seriously. Well, let's get out there on a trail together again sometime. You know, that's the best part about this. And, you know, meeting people like you guys out there, you don't know what to expect. You just have a group of people together. And all of a sudden, you spend 3-4 days on a trail hanging out, experiencing some things you probably shouldn't, then it's a lifetime of memory.
For me and my wife's daily and you and a rig that was 45 feet long, I think we did just fine.
We did okay. We hung in with those other guys.
Yeah. I did most of that stuff. And now you're just a solid, Google's still thinking, 19 hours away. So... The American West is big.
I always forget that Denver's only 2/3 of the way to the coast.
Yeah.
Is that all it is?
Yeah. It's only about 2,000 miles from here.
See, it's only it's like 700 miles from me. So, like, it's still a long way. Like, hey.
That's one day. That's a day's drive, you know?
Denver's 8 hours.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. It's just. Yeah. The other 11 to get to Lauren is the hard part because it's the rest of the Rocky Mountains, Utah.
Well, meeting up in Denver is nothing wrong with that too. So, you know, that's a great place to go. So we can do that.
I need to figure out Colorado better for BLM land. I used to joke that once you were west of Denver, everything got easier. I have not done well in Colorado for finding spots where I can camp and whatever. I need to. Utah's piece of cake. Arizona's piece of cake. Like,
right.
Colorado's tricky. You gotta watch Colorado.
Well, we got Expo coming up here, so we'll have to figure out, you know, a route afterwards, you know, to do something there.
Yeah, that's August, right?
Yeah. There you go. Wheels are turning.
Chris, I'm gonna If I had the chance to tow one of these things, yes, I will be in Denver.
if you make it out to Denver, you can tow one of our trailers. I'll have one set up for you.
There you go. All right. Chris just made late summer plans without his family's consent.
I may have made other late summer plans. Well, she was a part of that, so we're good. But Lauren, we will talk. We will chat.
Awesome.
Well, cool. Sweet. I'm going to wrap up the show before Ross turns into a pumpkin. You can rate, review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We're just about on everything. If we're not on the one you listen to, first of all, how'd you listen to this show? But secondly, send me a message so I can make sure like we're sending the correct feed. Like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. We had some viewers tonight. I appreciate that. You can follow Lauren. It's at X-Grid Campers. Everywhere, right? Like it's Facebook, Instagram. And then you can follow Hooniverse, the Hooniverse on Twitter, the real Hooniverse on Instagram. I don't know that I need to say Hooniverse on Twitter anymore because I don't think Jeff cares anymore. No. So we could probably go ahead and drop that one.
Trying to get the Hooniverse Instagram back off the ground. The real Hooniverse.
The real Hooniverse on Instagram. Yes. Definitely do that. Ross is... No, not like the one from Friends, and I'm at Overlanding Dad. I love that I still say yours, but I say at in front of mine. I don't know why.
Yeah, me either.
Just a lot of episodes. That's why we do it.
Yeah, it's just spitting it right back out now.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks, you guys. Nice to meet you. Enjoyed it.
Appreciate it.
You bet.